we have this one more topic of bris mila, the issue of the validity of a bris mila done on Shabbos when it's not the eighth day. In other words, a bris mila wasn't supposed to be done on Shabbos. We've discussed this tangentially in terms of the discussion about the switch days. Right, the Friday one was Shabbos, and the Shabbos one was Friday. And do we say Shabbos was meant to be overruled for the Shabbos baby, v'chule, and the Hatafas Dam question? So that's where this issue came up. And the Menchas Chinuch discusses it, and it touches on a very important principle with applications far and wide of Eavid Lo Mahani. Or Yevon Mahani, as the case may be. The question of, if I do something that Hashem said don't do, is my act effective? Having nothing to do with whatever punishment I'm receiving or not receiving for the crime. So examples are, I separated Truma inappropriately. I separated Truma on Shabbos. So does the Truma count? I did a Shechita on a Shabbos. Does the Shechita count? And so on and so forth. The Gemara has all sorts of different applications for this. A person hires the services of that gets you also into Dine Mamadas, but a person hires the services of a Zona, is he obligated to pay her? Mm-hmm. Even though the transaction itself was illicit, is he obligated to pay her? The answer is yes. Whether Beis Din is going to withdraw the money or not from him is another story. But regarding inappropriate mila on Shabbos, take a look at source Aleph. Right, the discussion that we had about the switched babies. Tani Rabbi Chia taught Omer Hayu Rabbi Meir Lo Nechleko Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Al Misha Hayu Lo Shnei Tinogos Echad Lomol Be'erev Shabbos Ve'echad Lomol B'Shabbos. There is no debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the case in which you have two babies, one of whom is supposed to have his bris on Friday and one is supposed to have the bris on Shabbos. V'shachah Humbal as Shal Erev Shabbos B'Shabbos. Accidentally, you did the Friday one on Shabbos. The rule is Shuchai, if everybody agrees, you are liable for doing the Friday one on Shabbos. You weren't supposed to do that. Where is there a debate? One was supposed to be Sunday, one was supposed to be Shabbos. You did the Sunday one on Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you don't. You are potter entirely. And that was a nice little discussion about Shabbos being given for overriding and all of that. But the bottom line is, no one here suggests Hatafa. There is no suggestion that if you do the Friday bris on Shabbos, you now do Hatafas Dam afterwards. Which makes it sound like this is a valid bris mila. And indeed, that's the conclusion that the Menchas Chinuch draws from this. If you take a look at Os Tez Zayin, Mitzvah Beis. There you go. The Os Tez Zayin, in the beginning of Os Tez Zayin, so it's on Daf Yud Aleph in the standard text, standard edition, he says, V'chol ha-milo she'en ha-dochem Shabbos, all the brisin that do not override Shabbos, kigon shalo bezmana, such as if it's done at an inappropriate time, im avar umal, if he went and did the mila, vadayatza, he certainly did fulfill his obligation, v'ein sarach lahatef dam brisin, there's no need for atavaz dam afterwards, raki surah, who's the avad, he just broke the law. And he gives you the reference to that Gemara that we just read in source number Aleph, right? And then he asks the key question, Vilach Ora Kasha. Apparently, this is difficult. Nima, why don't we say, we're in the fourth line in Oz Tezayin, Kol Milsa Da Amar Rachmana Lo Saved, Iavid Lo Mahani. That everything the Torah says don't do, if you do it, it is in fact ineffective. That's the rule we should present. And he's referring to Gemara in Tumura, it's source base on your sheet. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, "Kol milsa d'amar rachmana lo saved." Everything the Torah says, "Don't do." That period there is odd. I cut and pasted the text out of the Bar Ilan CD-ROM, and occasionally I don't agree with their punctuation. So this is one of those cases. That period shouldn't be there. If anything, it should be a comma. Abaye says, "Any time the Torah says, 'Don't do something,' im aved, if you do it, mahani, the action is still effective." So to give the case I mentioned in the beginning, you shecht it on Shabbos, the shechita is valid. Granted, you shouldn't have done it, but it's a kosher animal. The isaka daitach lo mahani, because if you would say otherwise, that it's not effective, am I lucky? Why would you receive lashes for doing various things on Shabbos that you weren't supposed to do? Right? It comes up in the Temura case, obviously, because Temura is the classic. Right? Temura, Hashem says, don't substitute one animal for another, and if you do, you're getting malkos. However, it works. And the Gemara in Temura discusses it in terms of doing truma and maser out of water and all sorts of other applications. But he says, why would there be a penalty for doing things the wrong way if what you did was actually ineffective and you didn't do anything? Rava Amar, lo mahani midi. Rava says, absolutely not. If you break the law, your action is not effective. Vahai delaki, and the fact you're getting lashes is mishum da'avra memra derachmano, is because you broke the law. You didn't do, you did what Hashem told you not to do. So the Gemara brings a potential challenge. Meisvei, the Gemara asks, and this is going to be a question against Rava's position. Ones shegiresh. We know the rule is that if a man rapes a woman, he is obligated to marry her, assuming she wishes to marry him. So im Yisrael hu. And if he marries her and then he divorces her, he is in violation of the Torah's prohibition. The Torah says, number one, lo sihiya leisha, she shall be a wife to him, and number two, lo yuchal shalacha kol yamav, he is not able to divorce her. So in the case in which he marries her and then he divorces her, im Yisrael hu, if he is a Yisrael, he's not a Kohen, machzir ve'en oloke. So all he does is remarry her, and that way he avoids lashes. So that's the quote. So he says, wait a minute. V'i amrit kevin da'avra memer d'rachman alaki. If you're telling me he gets lashes simply because he broke Hashem's word, hanami loki, he should get lashes here too. Who cares that he remarried her? The Torah said, don't divorce her, and he divorced her. Beginning, middle, and end, no? To you, to the Rava. That would seem to contradict Rava. So, Amar Lach, Rava will reply to you, not necessarily. Sha'ani Hasam, that may be a different story, that case. Why? Because there's a pasuk to the effect of, just remarry her. D'Amar Kra, the Torah says, Kol Yamav, Lo Yuchal Shalacha Kol Yamav. He can't send her away all of his days, implying, Kol Yamav, Bamod V'Achzer, that all his days he will have a mitzvah of, go remarry her, and that in fact is your way to fix things. Ule Abaye, well, let's go back to Abaye. Abaye will say, no, that's not what Kol Yamav is for. He says, had the Torah not mentioned Kol Yamav, Hava Amina, I would have thought, had you not said Kol Yamav, I would have said he wasn't supposed to divorce her. But once he divorces her, it's over. There's no issue of remarrying her. Kol Yamav is meant to teach me that you have an imperative to remarry. Kamash Malan, that's what it's teaching me. But Kol Yamav, says Abaye, is not teaching me that you can nullify what you did by remarrying. But Rava uses this as a means of resolving his problem. That's just one of the many cases. That's the big discussion. That's Sugya there in the beginning of Temura. It's the big discussion about this issue of Yehovid Mahani or Yehovid Lo Mahani. The bottom line is that within our discussion, as the Menchas Chinuch asks, we should say, if your name is Rava at any rate, that the bris doesn't work, because you did the bris on Shabbos. So the Minchas Chinuch offers a few different solutions. One solution is to say, you're right, lo mahani, the bris doesn't work. The bris you did on Shabbos doesn't work at all. Well, gee, if it doesn't work, then why is he called a machal Shabbos? Why is he getting lashes for doing the bris on Shabbos? Yeah, but it's mekalkel. Right? You didn't accomplish anything. That's the way the Minchas Chinuch asks the question. He says, I'm jumping his quote from the Maharit. I have to tell you, I broke my head over that Maharit and I still don't understand it. So maybe at some future date I'll get it and I'll come back to it. But right now I just don't understand it. But the question that he asks is that if you're going to tell me, lo mahani, that it doesn't work, he's halfway through that paragraph of Ted Zion, v'im kein inema, the middle of the line. It's 7 lines before the end of the paragraph. V'im kein is so, inema de lo mahani, if you're going to tell me that the bris doesn't work, havale mekalkel, then it's mekalkel. You're mekalkel b'chabur, you're damaging with a wound, and the rule is you should not get lashes for doing that on Shabbos. So one approach that he has is that you're right, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, it's lo mahani. Nonetheless, it is still an act of mitaken, it is an act of repairing, because we take the view that no hatafa is required. You don't have to do hatafas dam. So granted that he didn't fix things in the sense of doing a kosher bris, but no further act of bris is required. So therefore, it is mitaken. Before, I had a kid who required a bris, now I have a kid who does not require a bris. Granted, I didn't fulfill a mitzvah on the way to getting to that point, but we've had other cases like that before. Right? Where I didn't fulfill the mitzvah, and yet I have no further action that I'm obligated to carry out. That's one answer he offers. A second answer he offers is that, again, lo mahani, it doesn't work. However, even if I would require hatafa, still he doesn't require a full bris milah. Right? Maybe I pay them all half. I don't have to do a full bris milah, and therefore it's metakin. But then he offers a third approach, which I found fascinating and I really wanted to spend some time on. And that is the view that the milah works, and yavid mehani, yavid lo mehani, is not meant to describe a case like we are dealing with. The machlokas habayi v'rava does not apply here. Because the reason why this bris is prohibited is external to the milah action itself. The milah action is 100% permitted. The problem is just that it happens to be Shabbos today. That's our issue. Now, he only brings one little line to this effect. He doesn't explain at all the whole backstory, so that's what I want to go through. He gives it to you at the end of this paragraph that starts with Tedzayin. He says, Uladas Hashach, according to the view of the Shach, Hoshemishpat Reish Ches, Sivka, and Beis, Tocholechida Ayom Gore, Miyavid Mahani, according to the view of the Shach, that wherever the day is the reason why it's prohibited, not the action itself, that there it's effective. Vaday kosher, it certainly is kosher. But ain kan makom, he says this is not the place for that conversation. So it's a cryptic line. What in the world is this shach? Where is this coming from? It's a whole fascinating backstory. So we're going to go through it a little bit. Take a look, please, at source Gimel. Line in the Shulchan Aruch. The main part of it is the Shulchan Aruch. The part that's in parentheses is the Ramah. That's the downside of enlarging the font so that everybody can see it nicely, is that then the Rambam's font looks like everybody else's. Mekach shenase be'isur. You engaged in a transaction in a prohibited way. How? Kigon shehosef b'shivoy ha-mekach b'shvil hamtanas ha-maos. Let's say I am the salesman. I sold you something that was worth $10. And I said to you, you know what? You don't have to pay me now. You can pay me later, but it's going to cost you $15. So that's called ribis. Right. I'm lending you $10 and you are paying me back $15. That's the idea. Or alternatively, we set the price for what I was going to sell you, but I didn't actually possess it yet. So it's ribis going the other way. You provide me with the funds at a level that is less than what the item is actually worth, but I don't have the item yet. So when I give you the item later and it's worth more, it is a ribis return on your loan of the funds to me. So those are his two prohibited cases. Then the Rama in parentheses. Or let's say you swore or took a neder that you were not going to sell the item and then you went and sold it, right? We know the difference between neder and shavua. Neder is on an object. Shavua is on an action. But you went and did it. And you did something. You did an act of transaction to seal the deal. Hamekach kayim, the Shulchan Aruch says. The transaction is valid. V'yitein kishar shel heter. You pay, of course, based on the permitted price. Beis Din is not going to now enforce the prohibition. Beis Din is not going to say, go pay him ribis. And neither of the parties is able to back out. So the Rama says that's true regarding case in which you took an oath as well. Where did he get that from? Why does he insert that? It's a Mordechai at the end of Shavuos. But the Mordechai at the end of Shavuos says it's not valid. The Mordechai at the end of Shavuos says if you engage in such a transaction, breaking the law, then the sale is not valid. The Beis Yosef and the Darchei Moshe, of course by the Rama, disagreed with the Mordechai, quoting Rav Haigon and quoting the Rush, regarding acceptability of a sale involving ribis. Take a look, please, at Source Dalet. This is the note from the Rush. V'chein mana demasik b'chavrei zuzei b'ribisa. So too, somebody who owes money to another party with ribis, v'yavle b'gavayu glima, and he pays him with a cloak. So, ki mafkina minei, glima mafkina minei. When we make him return the ribis, right? We also make him return the cloak. Okay, I received a cloak. I have to give it back. Why? Because we don't want people to say that this man is cloaking himself with a ribis cloak. The people are going to recognize that and say, hey, that's a ribis coat. Mashma davka mishum delema mechse beglima deribisu the madrinam. So it sounds like the reason why we don't let him keep it is only a marasayan issue. Right? It's not as though we make him give it back because it's a ribbis issue. It sounds like the transaction is really valid. Halava, if not for that, hamekach kayim, the transaction would be valid. Velorim rinam, we don't say, came into nasa be'isr nizbatal hamekach, that since it was done in a prohibited way, the transaction should be null. He mentions the same is true in a couple of other cases there in the Gemara. Mikan pasak Rav Haigon zal b'tshuva, and therefore Rav Haigon ruled hecha deika isura bizvina, where there is a prohibition violated in a sale. Daosiv b'dame mishum agar nata. Let's say he added extra funds, and therefore there's a rebus issue. O posek al aperos actually it's ashar v'niskayim amekach b'kinyan v'lonis yaker ashar, right? Or where we had the deal where you prepaid me for the produce that I didn't yet have, right? And the deal was that I gave you more than what you had actually given me with your funds. Ve'en yochel, we say amekach kayim, the sale is valid. Ve'en yochel avatal amekach, we can't nullify the transaction b'shvil shenaseh v'yisur just because it was done in a prohibited way. So the Rosh says two cases. One is the case of a ribis sale, direct in terms of the funds being held. The other is the other type of a ribis sale. And he says, quoting Rav Haigon, that that's valid based on this case of the cloak. So the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe quote this tshuva to argue that if I swore I wasn't going to engage in a sale and then I did it, the sale is still valid. They extrapolate from this case here of the cloak and the case of the ribbis to the case of the shavua to argue against the Mordechai. So the Ramah, writing in Shulchan Aruch, includes the shavua case, right? Based on this conclusion that he drew in the Darkei Moshe from the Rosh. That's the background on this issue. Well, along comes the Sma, the Sefer Be'iras Einayim, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you comparing a ribbis sale to a shavua case? Why not?
It's intuitively incongruous. I don't know.
You got to do better than that.
I know.
The isser is not in the maisa that you're doing. And it's like, if I happen to do it to be Shabbos, or if it happened to be, you know, I was wearing a Shabbos coat while I made this.
Right. The issue is that it's the difference between where the prohibition lies. And the Sma does this, makes this distinction based on an analysis of Rava's view. He doesn't just make up this idea that here's a cute distinction. He says, Rava, according to your analogy between the cases, Rava himself will be self-contradictory. Why? Because Rava is the author of the view in Tmura that he avad lo mahani, that the deal is no good. The Rush's case that he quoted from Bava Metzia about the cloak, guess who's speaking there? That's Rava also. So you can't tell me that Rava says, on the one hand, the Yavid Lomahani, and Rava says that the cloak doesn't have to be returned. Right? It doesn't work. You follow the problem? You're telling me Rava is saying Yavid Lomahani, but on the other hand, the transaction is valid. So he says the answer is that this ribbis sale case is not the type of a case where we'll say you have a lomahani. Because, and this is the Sma's invention here to explain why not, he says because when you're dealing with the ribbis case, the isser is not inherent to the sale. The sale itself is a permitted sale. There's just extra money that's been promised. Which is why the Shulchan Aruch said, let the transaction go through, and basically is just not going to have him pay the extra funds, the illegal funds. The sale itself is a valid sale because there's nothing wrong with the sale. When Rava says in Tamura, Yavid Lomahani, he's talking about where the action itself is an illicit action. Not this case over here. Not our discussion here. So the Sma says, let's now try to apply that in the case of the Shavua case. You swore you weren't going to make the sale. Now the action of the sale is actually prohibited to you. There's no way that you will ever make this sale in a permitted way, barring Ataras Nedarim, but it's not germane. So therefore, he says, you can't extrapolate from the Ribbis case to the Shavua case. And he says, that's the argument of the Mordechai. That's why the Mordechai is very comfortable saying that it's not valid where you do the sale in the Shavua case. So the Shach, there in Choshen Mishpat, borrows this idea to explain a Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that if I steal an animal and I shecht it, sell it on Shabbos, the sale is valid. So take a look at source Hey. Ubahachi nicha nami. This also will help work things out. The lotik shimeyah the isa perak maruba that you shouldn't question based on that Gemara in Bava Kamma. It's Bava Kamma hayin amud base. The isa perak maruba mission of a shas bekula sugya gabe tavach umachar b'shabbos regarding the person who shechted sold it on Shabbos. Dahave mechira, we say it is valid. Even if you violated a biblical prohibition, you know, someone might say selling on Shabbos is only a derabbanan. So he says, no, even when you did it on a deoraisa way, even still, I'll tell you it's valid. Why? Because if you do that sale any other day of the week, it's fine. The prohibition is not inherent to the sale. The prohibition is about the day of the week on which the sale happens to be taking place. Which is what the Minchas Chinuch meant when he gave you this little one-line reference here at the end of the paragraph that started Ted Zion, when he said, "Ludas Hashah Choshen Mishpat the Chol Eichada Yom Gorei Miyavet Mahani." According to the Shach and Choshen Mishpat, that wherever the day is the cause of the Isser, the transaction or the whatever it is actually valid, Vaday Kosher. So the Mila will certainly be kosher. So that's the backstory behind that little one-liner in the Minchas Chinuch. There's so much there that needs to be addressed that he's sort of, you know, he's just kind of taking it as a given that you either know it or you'll see it somewhere else. Parenthetically, it also explains the Gemara in Temura itself. The Gemara in Temura starts the discussion with a piece about doing Truma and Maser out of order. That's where they have the discussion. Remember that you're supposed to do it in a certain order. You're supposed to do Truma first and then Maser after that. And what if you did the Maser and then when do you do the Trumas Maser and the like? So the Gemara there says that if you do it, it's still valid. Even though it's an Avera, right? And even though it's wrong to the point where you can't go say Vidui Maser anymore. At the end of 3 years, when you're supposed to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do Vidui Maser if you did Truma and Maser out of order. So, according to the Minchas Chinuch, anyway. So why is it that it's still valid? Because the Truma Act itself is valid. You just did it at the wrong time. You did it after the Maaser instead of before. That's one piece. Another piece in this is the very interesting Mumar paradox, for which I brought you that little table on the source sheet as an aid to going through this. It relies on certain assumptions. It's the Minchas Chinuch's point, but it relies on certain assumptions that are best done outside of the text, and then we can look at it inside. He says, number one, if we assume that a non-eighth day bris done on Shabbos is valid, then Hatafa is not required. Right? That's your first column working left to right. Right? You did it on Shabbos, we still don't require Hatafa. If we also assume the second column, that if you do a non-eighth day bris on Shabbos, you're a mumar. Why would I assume it? Because the Rambam writes that in Hilchos Shechita regarding Shechita. He says, Ashochi b'Shabbos, mumar. So the same thing would be true if you did a bris milah on Shabbos. We see no reason to differentiate. So those are two assumptions. Number three, if we say that a bris done by a mumar is not valid, then if a mumar does a bris, you have to do hatafa. You see the paradox you just walked into? It's a Mobius strip. Right. So then, one who does a non-eighth day bris on Shabbos is a mumar, and therefore his bris should be no good, and atava should be required. But if so, then the bris is not valid, and therefore he's not a mumar. It's sort of the time travel problem here. Yeah. Right. The discussion that he has here, I'll show it to you inside, in the paragraph that starts Gam, it's the second paragraph of Os Tes Zayin. Right? Gam Nero Lefiri is Daiti, it also appears in my humble opinion, Imam Rinan de Bechol Inyan Havi Mitakein. If you say that, in fact, it is repairing. The Tzarech Hatavaz Dam Bris, even if you do require Hatavaz Dam. Efshar Lomer, then you could say this. Im Avar B'mezid U'moshel of Ismano B'Shavas. Ladas Harambam B'Shochi B'Shavas B'mezid Dehavi Mumer. Right, following the view that one who shechts on Shabbos is a mumer, so too here. The b'chol rega mechalal Shabbos, because he's violating Shabbos with every instant of his action. The b'chol rega issue goes back to a discussion regarding shechita of when you actually are liable for breaking Shabbos versus when it's a kosher shechita. That's part of their discussion about mitzvah ba'avera and yafei mahani yavi lo mahani regarding shechita. Ayin sham ba'advar matikin, he says that's an old issue. Im kein, hachanami na'ase mumer. So here too, by milah, he becomes a mumer. Umumer shemal, mevor b'shachrach yiradeh, le'tsa shitos da'avi kigoy, b'tzarech la'atif dam bris. You're going to require a tavaz dam. Ach, however, im neima kevan ditzarech lahatif dam bris lo avi mitakein. But if you're going to say that you have to do atafa, then therefore he's not called mitakein because you still need to do atafa. Im kein lo avi mor, then he's not a mor anymore. Dilo chilos Shabbos class, he didn't break Shabbos, at least on a deraisa level. Im kein ditzarech iun hadin kans. Now you have to examine what the law is going to be here. Im nomer ditzarech lahatif dam bris im kein lo avi mor klal. If you say you have to do atafa, then he's not a mor. We lost ok shera, then his milah is kasher. Vein tzarech lahatif, you don't have to do atafa. Vim nomer the milah is ok shera, and if you say it's kasher, vein tzarech lahatif dam bris hadav li mor v'tzarech lahatif. Right? Yeah. Ube emes kevin ditzarech lahatif im kein milah ok shera v'talei zeh bazeh v'tayde nesasri hadadi v'tzarech iun. Yes, I just thought that was interesting, and he actually is pointing out I did the structure as if you don't do atafa. But it works just as well if you have to do atafa. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, does everybody agree he would be a mumar? Because I would think normally you're a mumar with the Chol Shabbos because you're being kofer, you know, that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, etc.
Yeah.
But here you're dafka trying to do a bris with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So
yeah.
I wonder if there's anybody who would say that this is dafka situation where even though you're in the Chol Shabbos, you're clearly not a kofer and you're clearly
he's a mumar lishma.
Kind of, you're more of a, I guess, almost more of a shaita than anything else, because, I mean, you're not really trying to be a kaifer here, otherwise you wouldn't be
right.
In the press.
Right, it's an interesting question. I mean, all we have is that big Gemara in Chulin, Chulin Dav Hei, that says, Machal Shabbos Befer Hesya is Kigoy
Bechol. But that's generally right, because you're making a statement. You're making the opposite statement. The statement you're making is that you actually believe in God.
I mean, a lot of things you do on Shabbos that are mitzvahs that are, here's the thing, they're all,
But here, you're making a mummage of bris with it.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. Yeah. It's an interesting point. I'm not sure.
Because it reminds me, because I know there are chuvas, for example, there's a chuva, I think, it's the Minyan Siyam with regard to including somebody who's in Chol Shabbos in a minyan.
Right.
Somebody brings down, you have people who will light candles in Shabbos,
right,
and then get in their cars, or I know in his day, wherever they, whatever they did.
Right.
So clearly, it's not kfira.
Right.
So I thought... So,
and then the question is, well, what is it? So there is a discussion, he has a discussion about the Omer Mutter. The person who actually thinks this is a permitted action. He thinks that in whatever framework he's living in, this is what he's supposed to be doing.
That's what this reminds me of a little bit, because the person's trying to do a bris, he's just doing it in the wrong way. Right. But is it, do the other Rishonim also hold these? Is it generally accepted that he's
doing it? I didn't look into it. It's an interesting question. I think that is the assumption.
The general assumption.
Yeah, much as, I mean, the Shochet B'Shabbos also thinks he's doing something that's a Torah action.
But this is an extreme example. Right. Mamash entering into a bris with a
bris. Right, he gets up and he says, Lachliso
B'Riso Shalachim. So that's a pretty strong statement to be making for a guy who's a mover.
Maybe he should have Lachliso B'Riso Shalachim.
That's the other button.
And then you could have done it on Friday. Right. There's also a whole discussion here I didn't get into of whether this is mitzvah ba'avera. Mm-hmm. And and whether that should also be ineffective and therefore you should require a tafas dam. That's its own discussion, but I didn't go into that. I felt that at this point it would be good.